Uktaha. Having been requested. Tatmatam. His mind. Gatva. The sage could understand. Gataha. Went. Saha. He. Varuna. Attikam. To the place of Varuna. Aniya. Having brought. Tatva. And after delivering. Tam. Those. Ashvam. Horses. Upayame. Married. Vada Ananam. The beautiful daughter of King Gati. Translation. When King Gati made this demand, the great sage Vrichika could understand the king's mind. Therefore, he went to the demigod Varuna and brought from him the 1,000 horses that Gati had demanded. After delivering these horses, the sage married the king's beautiful daughter. So you can repeat, when King Gati made this demand, the great sage Rishika could understand the king's mind. Therefore, he went to the demigod Varuna and brought from him the 1,000 horses that Gati had demanded. After delivering these horses, the sage married the king's beautiful daughter. So text 8. There's no purport, of course, to this verse. No, next text. This is a short purport, so we'll just keep reading for a while. So text 8. Sarishi pratita patnya swasra chapatjakam yaya shapayatvo moyar mantras charum satum gato munahe. Thereafter, Vrichika Muni's wife and mother-in-law, each desiring a son, requested the Muni to prepare an oblation. Thus, Vrichika Muni prepared one oblation for his wife with a Brahman mantra and another for his mother-in-law with a Kshatriya mantra. Then he went out to bathe. Text 9. Tavat satyat. Tabat satyavati matra svacharum yachitasati shrestam matvatayat yachang matre maturadatsvayam. Meanwhile, because Satyavati's mother thought that the oblation prepared for her daughter, Vrichika's wife, must be better, she asked her daughter for that oblation. Satyavati therefore gave her own oblation to her mother and ate her mother's oblation herself. So, purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. A husband naturally has some affection for his wife. Therefore, Satyavati's mother thought that the oblation prepared for Satyavati by the sage Vrichika must have been better than her own oblation. In Vrichika's absence, the mother took the better oblation from Satyavati and ate it. So, text 10. That was a very short purport. So we're going to read text 10, and that's a nice size purport. Tanviditva muni brava putnim kashtam akarasihi guru danda dadha putro vratta te brahmavitta. When the great sage Vrichika returned home after bathing and understood what had happened in his absence, he said to his wife, Satyavati, "You have done a great wrong. Your son will be a fierce Kshatriya, able to punish everyone. And your brother will be a learned scholar in spiritual science." So purport, A Brahmana is highly qualified when he can control his senses and mind, when he is a learned scholar in spiritual science, and when he is tolerant and forgiving. A Kshatriya, however, is highly qualified when he is fierce in giving punishment to wrongdoers. These qualities are stated in Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter, texts 42 to 43. Because Satyavati, instead of eating her own oblation, had eaten that which was meant for her mother, she would give birth to a son imbued with the Kshatriya spirit. This was undesirable. The son of a Brahmin is generally expected to become a Brahmin. But if such a son becomes fierce like a Kshatriya, he is designated according to the description of the four Varnas in Bhagavad Gita, Chatur Varna, Varnyam, Mayashrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. If the son of a Brahmana does not become like a Brahmana, he may be called a Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra according to his qualifications. The basic principle for dividing society is not a person's birth, but his qualities and actions. So, Om Ganat Sindarandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Shapshurum Meditam Yena Tosmai Sri Gurvena Maha. So generally, of course, what's happening here is the father wants the son to follow in his footsteps. And if you have a Brahmin son and a Kshatriya son and a Brahmin father, it's not going to be such a desirable situation. Even you find in the story of Karna, and Karna's father, his mother's name was Radha, actually, which is interesting. Therefore, he's called Radheya. So Karna's father and Karna's mother, they were Shudras by tendency. We hate to use the word caste, because caste sometimes indicates, of course, depending on the context, caste sometimes indicates that someone is born in a particular situation and is stuck in a particular situation. So Karna's mother and father, they were Shudras. Actually, Karna's father was the chariot driver, and that's considered a Shudra occupation. It's interesting also that Krishna took that position in the battle of Kurukshetra. Hey, who's that? So Krishna took that position in the battle of Kurukshetra, showing that one should be ready to do anything to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is not precisely the point I'm making, but it's a secondary point. Because Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I mean, obviously, I guess you could say he's a Brahman, but he was a Brahmin, but he was acting like a Kshatriya in terms of his designated role in society. But he was showing, much to the amazement of everybody, because this was shocking to everybody in the Battle of Kurukshetra, or everybody in the Kuru dynasty, that here was someone in such an exalted position, the best fighter ever. You know, whether they accept that he's God or not, that's another issue. But here he's taking on such a lowly position. How can he do that? But he was doing that out of devotion. Just like we're supposed to achieve devotion. And we're doing certain things that we wouldn't ordinarily want to do, even according to our psychophysical nature. But we're doing them to please Krishna and the spiritual master. So Krishna is setting an example by doing that. Of course, Arjuna is not Krishna's spiritual master, obviously. But he's doing that out of devotion, out of love for his devotee. Kaunteya pratijanahi name bhakti pranashati. So Krishna's assuming a very... In that society, it was considered despicable. I mean, practically speaking, the Shudras had to live in separate situations. Even if you go into Sri Rangam, you'll find there's a certain neighborhood for Shudras, a certain neighborhood for Vaishyas, a certain neighborhood for Kshatriyas, and a certain neighborhood for Brahmins. And they don't mix socially, work-wise, living-wise, they don't miss. So try to understand the scenario of that particular situation where Krishna took this really localized position to serve his devotee. Interesting. Okay, so that's the first point. So anyway, so let's go back to Karna. So Karna was Kshatriya by his tendencies because basically he had a Kshatriya mother and he had the sun, that means this thing in the sky. The sun is his father. So, and there he was flopped in the middle of the Shudra family. And his family was really upset with him, with his Kshatriya tendencies. Not only was family upset with him, his Kshatriya tendencies, but practically the whole society was upset with him because of his Kshatriya tendency. And so you see the father, the point I'm making, Karna's father really wanted his son to follow in his footsteps. And also, it was causing him an embarrassment to have a son who was acting like a Kshatriya, born in a Shudra family, was causing him to have his whole family criticized because of that. That's how the scenario, that's the particular situation as it was a little over 5,000 years ago. So, anyway, so that's really what's happening here too. That here was a nice Brahmin man. Of course, his wife was a Kshatriya, we understand that. But the wife is supposed to follow in the footsteps of the husband. That's interesting. The wife is supposed to take on the husband's mood. That's the chaste wife. Whatever the mood of the husband is, she takes it on. And even when you had an example of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. And Devahuti, she was accustomed to what? Opulent life. She was a king's daughter. She was accustomed to so much, you know, soft beds, opulence. You can't imagine how much opulence was there in those days. Much more than nowadays. I mean, jewelry, opulence, and then what happened? She married Kardama, Brahmin. And she underwent austerities just to be consistent with his particular mood and devotional service. She actually sacrificed. I mean, this is devotion. And I'm not just preaching like this to all you ladies, because nobody here is married, so. I mean, not ladies here in the class, so I'm not preaching to anybody in particular, but I'm just making the point of devotion. When one takes on the attitude of servitude, for example, you know, I take on the attitude of servitude to Prabhupada, and in many ways I had to change my nature. Because when I first joined the Krishna Conscious Movement, before I joined the Krishna Conscious Movement, I was more or less reclusive. Reclusive means, I mean, it's not that I had to change my nature from Kshatriya to Brahmin. That's not really the point. I wasn't a Kshatriya. Nor was I a Shudra, nor was I a Vaishya. But I changed my nature in order to please Prabhupada. This is a very, very important point. That the person serving changes their nature, or at least manifest a different nature in order to serve. That's absolute surrender. Anyway, getting back to the point here, is that we have, well, let's talk more about Kardama Muni and Devahuti. So Devahuti, she was just like becoming very, very thin, very, very austere, and Kardama was getting worried with her. Ultimately, Kardama awarded her because of her chastity and because of her devotion, and he awarded her with a floating palace. Because she actually was surrendered like that, then she got everything in return, even more than she had before as a Kshatriya lady. She had a palace that would float in the air with all these servants who would dress her, put her jewelry on, and everything like that. And ultimately, she had as a son the best possible son you can imagine, which is Lord Kapiladeva. So anyway, so we see this particular dedication and devotion, and also in the case of Lord Ramchandra. You have Sita Devi. It's not a question of different foreigners in this particular case, but Sita Devi, who was accustomed to living a very soft life. And when Lord Ram was banished to the forest, he went to Sita Devi and he said, Sita Devi, you know, I'm going to the forest. You should stay here with my parents, because there were three mothers, not just seven. There are three mothers. Stay here with my mother. Stay here with my father. And protect them. And Sita Devi said, no. Of course, you didn't say in that tone of voice. That would have been pretty bad. She said, no. Like that. She said, no. Because wherever you are not is like the forest. Wow, pretty good. And wherever you are is like heaven. That's pretty interesting, you know, that dedication and chastity. Anyway, so these are some points here. Another point is that one is understood to be of a particular nature. We should understand what our natures are, unless we're ready to surrender. We should understand what our natures are and act according to our psychophysical nature in Krishna consciousness. Chaturvarna mayashrishtam guna karma vibhagasya. So oftentimes we talk about this subject matter, that how do you understand what your nature is? You know, are we going to be confronted in the same way the Pandavas were confronted when they went to, let's say they went to Drupada's kingdom, and they were put with all the ingredients for the four varnas in front of them, and that was their test to see what varna they were. But it's very easy to understand what our varna is. If you can think of something you would like to do all day long without getting bored, you can be absorbed in. We were talking about this yesterday with Mayapur. You know, how can you overcome the miseries of this material world? How can you overcome the attachments, the lust, the anger, the greed, the illusion, the envy? Do you just simply bite your lip when these things come? You know, just like, ha, or bite the tongue, or whatever you're going to bite, or bite the bullet. No. You have to be absorbed in something. So the way you tolerate is these things are more or less insignificant. They recede into the background. They may still be there. The lust may be there, the anger may be there. But because you're absorbed out of devotion, in a particular duty according to your psychophysical nature, you just don't notice it. And then I gave you the example of Mayapur yesterday. I said, when I was in the university in the 18th century, many years ago, when I was in the university, I was very much into mathematics and science. So I would sit down and derive the Einstein's theory of relativity. Pretty good, isn't it? How many of you can do that in your sleep? So I would sit down and I would just go through all these mathematical formulae. And you have all these, you know, sigmas and things like that. I'm not going to describe what it is. I've probably forgotten 90% of it right now. But because we learned how to derive it. And I would sit down and go through all these multidimensional calculus and all these things like that. And my mind was absorbed for like 6 or 7 hours. I didn't notice that I was hungry. I didn't notice that I was angry. I don't know if I was angry. I don't, because I wasn't lusty. But I just didn't notice these things. Because I was absorbed. Or even a little child who's playing his games or watching TV or something like that, and the parent is coming saying, it's time for dinner. The child may be hungry, the child's stomach may be growling, right? But he doesn't come because he's absorbed in playing with his friends or watching something or whatever that happens to be. So So the way we can overcome hankering, lamentation, you know, we have that saying, you know, Brahmabhuta Prasanatma, Ashochitina Kangshati. If one's on the Brahman platform, there's no hankering or lamentation. But the secret is, Brahmarpanam Brahma Havir Brahmando Brahmanavutam Brahmatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhi. That's one of the famous verses that the Brahma Kumaris like to recite, which I'm not going to talk about Brahma Kumaris today. But in any case, what that indicates is if you can be absorbed in service to Brahman, of course that's Yukta Vairagya again, Papanchakatiya Vidya Hari Sambandhu Voshtana Mukshvi Purityagi Vairagyam Tatu Vagu Tatyate. That if we are actually absorbed in Yukta Vairagya, in service to Krishna, then automatically that's what it means. Yukta Vairagya actually means being absorbed and being renounced. Or even the word sannyas. The word sannyas means to accept and reject. It doesn't mean reject. The word nyas means to reject. And nyasi is a person who rejects. So sam, just like we have the word sam in Sankirtan, doesn't mean to reject chanting. It means complete chanting. It means congregational chanting. It means absorbed chanting. Basically, absorbed chanting. So if you're absorbed in the holy names, or if you're absorbed in your service, everybody should ask to have some service too. It's not that we're at the point of being absorbed in the rasa lila or something like that. If you try prematurely, then you're going to be absorbed in lust. But if you're absorbed, then whether there's lust, whether there's anger, whether there's greed, you don't notice it. It's because you're happy serving Krishna. And it probably, of course, it always gives that example. We were talking yesterday with Mayapur about this, about the milk. The cup of milk, if it's full, there's no room for ink. I mean, obviously, it's not something that I've ever experienced, that a cup of milk and someone wanting to put ink in it. But in any case, that's the point. Just absorbed 24 hours a day. We should pray for Krishna to keep our minds absorbed. Even if that means absorption and anxiety. Sometimes we thought about that. Because Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, what does he say? Renunciation in the mode of passion is to give up something because it's difficult. You know, goodbye cruel world, well, you know, as the saying goes. That's passion. But if something gets difficult, then it's more opportunity to absorb our mind in Krishna. And even if your mind is absorbed, in, just like Prabhupada, when Prabhupada's mind was absorbed in anxiety over different things, I mean, Prabhupada also experienced anxiety. When Brahmananda was in Pakistan and there was the war, Prabhupada was in anxiety over it. When Tamal Krishna Maharaj went to Sridhar Mayapur to buy the land with an improvised money belt with God knows how much money in his belt, Prabhupada was in anxiety. He was staying up and pacing back and forth. But that was absorption in Krishna. So even anxiety is absorption in Krishna. I'm not saying that we should always be in anxiety. That's not so helpful. But so renunciation or giving up something because it's difficult is not prescribed. One should stick to their prescribed duty. And of course, in the mode of ignorance, renunciation means you don't even do your prescribed duty at any time, but to speak of renouncing it. So we should be in goodness. Goodness means be steadfast in yoga. Yoga, of course, means connected. So, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagno Brahmanahutam Brahma Tena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Smadhanam. And that verse says, if you make a full contribution to Brahman, which means the service of Brahman, which we described as Yukta Vairagya, then everything connected with that offering becomes spiritualized. Your body becomes spiritualized. Your home becomes spiritualized. The activity becomes spiritualized. The results of the activity become spiritualized. Your consciousness becomes spiritualized because you made a full contribution to Brahman. Like, you know, even one time Prabhupada, Tamal Krishnamurti said to Prabhupada, I'm having some trouble concentrating my rounds because of an anxiety. What did Prabhupada say? Prabhupada said, me too. So, we should take a hint from Srila Prabhupada's example. He is our role model. He is our inspiration in Krishna consciousness. So, anyway, so any questions or comments? Big crowd today. Dedicated people to the morning program. Yes?
So you mentioned these words, Ramar.
Brahmagno Brahmano Dham by Brahma
King. I don't understand because of my English problem.
Yes.
So, can a person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual
kingdom? Yes. But actually, that's the new translation. I like the old translation better. As one of the. One of the controversial things going on right now is like the changes in the books. So I'm not going to comment or give my opinion, but there's a lot of controversial stuff going on right now.
So,
word by word. Let me do it word. Okay, here we go. Brahma means spiritual nature. Arpanam means basically contribution. It also can refer to service. You know, service. Brahma, the Supreme. If one does service, spiritual service to the Supreme, it is equated to offering ghee. I'm not reading the translation, I'm just going through the word by word translations right now. Havi means butter, actually means ghee. I don't know why they translated it as butter, it is actually ghee. There's a difference between butter and ghee. So in the fire, Agno, Brahma Agno, the Brahmana, that means the spiritual, is offering. Then one, the Brahma Karma Samadhina, then that means the activity of serving Krishna, being absorbed in it, that is actually Samadhi. And actually, in the translation, not too. Too often, because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which the consummation is absolute, that means the end of it, you know, the goal, and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature.
So consummation is the end.
Yeah, consume, and not consume, I was saying, like the end, the consummation of the goal is absolute, and that which is offered is the same spiritual nature. In the original translation, that, there was more, it was like a purported translation that Prabhupada gave in the first volume of the Bhagavad Gita.
72.
What?
72.
Yeah, 72 Bhagavad Gita. Was that the person making the offering? Everything is of the same spiritual nature.
So which one you consider the better?
Anyway, that's a controversial question, which I'm not going to answer.
Just the one
you... I'm used to the old version.
You like both?
No.
No.
I like everything. So, I'm not going to get into controversy. So, any other questions or comments? Mayapur, you have any questions?
Not appropriate for everyone.
Alright. Anybody have any questions? Any of the big audience here? No? Alright, so we can end class 3 minutes early. necessarily. All glory is to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.